I liked that video and thought it was a good introduction into what we're talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about prayer and the importance of prayer and the power of prayer. And I think too often we think about the fact that prayer changes our circumstances, but we don't always think of the fact that prayer also changes us, who we are. And we don't always put enough significance, perhaps, on the idea of prayer. At least I'm speaking for myself. I don't know how many times over the course of my life I've had people come to me during times where I'm struggling with something, I'm working through something, and they say to me, they say, "Dustin, how can we walk with you?" And my answer is usually this: just pray. Just pray. Just pray. Prayer is so much more than just. Prayer should be our go-to thing. It should be, "Pray for me because I know the power of prayer. Pray for me." So there's this incredible power, I believe, in prayer that we're going to look at and talk about this morning. But we're looking at it not from the angle of pray so that we can change the circumstances that we're walking through in life. We're going to look at it from the angle of how prayer changes us. How prayer changes you, how prayer changes me, how it changes our heart and our mind and our spiritual being. I know that we all believe in the power of prayer. We as a church, we spend time praying together. We spend time praying for each other. Just yesterday at the Anvil Cleona High School, they had a time of prayer where they prayed over the school district. I know a lot of other districts were doing the exact same thing as the schools are starting up again. Just this morning, Rachel spent time praying for our teachers, our superintendents, the staff, the parents, the students, all those individuals, because we believe in the power of prayer. We believe that in the midst of everything that's going on in society, the unrest that we all are experiencing, that there is this incredible power in prayer. Our time in prayer also has the power to impact our lives, and that's really what I want us to focus on this morning. Prayer changes things, absolutely. Situations, absolutely. But the focus this morning is that prayer changes us. And prayer is simply talking to God. There are many things we should pray about. And Paul, I think, zeroes in on a few of those important ways that prayer changes us. So if you have your Bible with you, if you're using an electronic Bible, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 1, the book of Philippians. Chapter 1, and we're going to look at about three verses today from that particular passage, that particular book, as we look and see what the Apostle Paul talks to us about here. So starting at verse 9, Apostle Paul says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." And we're going to pause right there. The first thing that I want us to see is that when we pray, we will become more loving. Prayer, we need to pray that we will become more loving. The love needs to abound in us, is what we see in this first sentence of this passage. That your love may abound more and more. Our love needs to thrive. It needs to flourish. Our love needs to overflow out of us. And we need to pray and ask God for that to happen, because sometimes it's really hard for that love to flow out of us. Someone wrote, "There is nothing that makes us love." Pardon me. "There is nothing that makes..." Let me start all over again. "There is nothing that makes us love a man so much as prayer for him." Right? There's nothing that makes us love a man so much as prayer for him. Personally, I don't know how much or how often I've prayed for my love to grow for others. But it's something that we should be doing. And it's also true that the more that we pray for others, the more that we will love others. The more that we will show love to others. Generally, if you don't like somebody, you won't pray for them. Right? That's the human side of us. Somebody hurts you, somebody disappoints you, somebody frustrates you. So what do? We just kind of ignore their existence in life. It's the human side of us. Generally, we just don't choose to pray for somebody that we don't really appreciate or like. But if we were to start praying for them, I believe that God will change our attitudes towards that person or those people, towards them. Prayer must grow for our love for other people to truly grow. God uses prayer to change us so often. In Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Right? You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus tells us, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pastor Wayne Smith served in ministry for over 40 years, and he said in a sermon one time, he said this, "Lord, I know it's wrong to hate anyone, but if it ever becomes right, I've got the guy all picked out." Right? So do you have the guy, the gal, all picked out? Is there somebody in life that you consider to be your enemy, your opponent, the one who is hard to like and has given you nothing but trouble in your life, and by all human standards, you have the right to dislike this person? Do you have a guy or gal picked out? According to Jesus, we should pray for that person, or those persons, or that group of people. It's not easy to do, but it's the right thing to do. Remember Matthew 5, Jesus said, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you." What, if you remember, if you think back in Scripture to the time that we celebrate at Easter where Christ is being hung on the cross. Remember what Jesus prayed as he was on the cross? Remember his words? His words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In our humanness, somebody nailing your arms to a cross, I think they might be considered my enemy in that moment. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We need to pray for our love to grow. And we need to pray for people, all people, the people that we really appreciate, the people we love, the people that we look forward to being around, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? We need to pray for people so that our love will grow for them. And in so doing, I believe we become more like Christ. We please and we glorify Christ because of our actions, because of our willingness, because of our desire to show that love to other people. I believe praying that our love for others will grow is an aspect of prayer that we so often overlook. We often pray about things, about situations, about circumstances that we're facing, but not about love. If God is love, and we know that He is, then we too should love others So let's pray and ask God to put that within us so that it can spill out of us. Let me ask you this. Knowing that prayer can help change our feelings towards others, it can help us better love other people. Here's the question. Who needs added to your prayer list this morning? Who is it that falls into that category of somebody that just pushes your buttons, somebody that frustrates you, somebody that, in your opinion, has done you wrong? I think our scripture tells us that person needs to be on our prayer list today and moving forward. Right? Jesus tells us, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Who do you need to add to your prayer list? I can tell you from personal experience, it becomes harder, much, much harder to be frustrated with, to have negative feelings towards somebody when you are consistently lifting them in prayer. Asking for God's very best for them and His plan for them. Prayer that you... The second thing I want us to look at this morning is the idea that we can pray that we will be more discerning. And this just follows on in the verse, I guess it would be verse 10. We'll start again at verse 9. It says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. The story of a young man that was walking through a supermarket. And as he was walking through the supermarket, he noticed that there was this older lady that was there, and she was shopping as well, but she was really kind of keeping an eye on him. And as he would go down one aisle, she would follow him down the aisle, and she was just kind of watching him as he was shopping. And he didn't really, he noticed it, he thought it was kind of odd, but he didn't really think much of it. Finally, he went to get into the checkout line, and the lady kind of cut in front of him in the line and beat him to the checkout. And as they were standing in the line waiting for the line to progress through the checkout, the lady said, she said, pardon me. She said, I'm sorry if my staring at you made you feel uncomfortable. It's just that you look just like my son who recently passed away. And the man said, he said, I'm so sorry to hear of your loss. Is there anything I can do to comfort you? She said, yes. She said, as I'm leaving, can you say goodbye, mother? It would make me feel so much better. The guy agreed to do it. As the woman was leaving, he called out, said, goodbye, mother. As he stepped up to the counter, he saw that the total was $127.50. And he thought, how could that be? I only purchased a few things. The cash register, the cashier said, your mother said that you would pay for her bill as well. We need to be discerning in life. Because if we're not, somebody will take us to the cleaners both materially, but more importantly, spiritually. There are people in this world who are doing big business with the devil, in a sense. And they don't even know it. He loves using people to dupe and deceive others. That is the work of Satan. And we need to be discerning in that matter. Pray that you will be more discerning. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, for this reason, when I could stand no longer, I send to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the temper might have tempted you and your efforts might have been useless. And then in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for somebody to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering." Satan is a trickster. He is a clever deceiver. He's a liar, he's a murderer, he's a destroyer of men's souls, and he is out to get us. It is a battle for each one of our souls. And it's a very real battle. We must be alert to his scheming ways. One way to be alert is simply by picking up God's Word and reading His Word. Another way is being consistent in our prayer life, praying for discernment so we see when we might be being led astray by somebody else. Joseph Stowell, who served as the president of Moody Bible Institute, wrote these words, "Discernment in Scripture is the skill that enables us to differentiate. It is the ability to see issues clearly. We desperately need to cultivate this spiritual skill that will enable us to know right from wrong. We must be prepared to distinguish light from darkness, truth from error, best from better, righteousness from unrighteousness, purity from defilement, and principles from pragmatics." What James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 5, kind of summarizes that quote. "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Discern what is best. Far too often, what we've chosen less than the best that God has to offer for us in our lives. We've chosen the way of the world over the things of Jesus Christ. We've chosen the material things over the spiritual things. We need to be more discerning in our lives, because the decisions that you and I make, they absolutely impact our lives. It will impact your life. Every decision you make has an impact in your life, but it also impacts the lives of so many others. It doesn't stop with just you. We need to be more discerning so that we choose what is best in this life, and that it can lead us to living a pure, more blameless life in Christ. In other words, we need to continue working at our faith. Not the least, but the best way that we can. Pray for discernment. And then the power to choose what is best. Because sometimes we discern what God wants, but it's really difficult. And then we need His help to actually choose that direction to go in. Thirdly, pray that you will be more righteous. Pray that you will be more righteous. Our verse goes on in chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 11. It says, "Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God." And that's how that section ends. Those are Paul's last words in that particular little section. It was said that Robert Louis Stevenson, who was a Scottish novelist, poet, and travel writer, when he was a boy, he once remarked to his mother, he said, "Mama, you cannot be good without praying." "How do you know that?" she asked him. He says, "Because I've tried." It reminds me of another story, and I know I've shared this story before, but it just ties in with this, I think, so well. the story of a little kiddo, and he had been sent to his room because he had been bad. He was having some behavioral issues. And a short time later, he came out of his room and he said to his mom, he said, "I've been thinking about what I did and I said a prayer about it." And his mom said, "That's fine. If you ask God to make you good, He will help you." The little boy said, "Oh, I didn't ask God to make me good. I asked Him to help you put up with me." I'm not sure about that last prayer in particular, but I do believe that we should pray to be better than we are today. We should be praying, "God, help me to be what You want me to be. Not my will, but Your will be done in my life and on this earth." Martin Luther wrote, "If I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith." Those are great words. A great warning. If I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith. How can a Christian be what they're supposed to be in God's eyes if we're not praying? We need both Scripture and prayer in our lives. We need to read Scripture in order to discern God's will, and then we need to pray, asking Him to help us to do His will in our lives. Righteousness comes from our righteous God. We can't get it anywhere else. There is nothing that you or I can do to become righteous ourselves. Therefore, we need just a consistent connection with God in order to grow in our lives in this area of righteousness. Filled with the fruit, verse 11 says, of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Doesn't come through Dustin, doesn't come through you. Comes through Jesus Christ. True righteousness can only come from our Lord Jesus. We must be connected to Him as much as possible if we're taking this spiritual life thing seriously. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says, and most of you know this, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. These are simply called the fruit of the Spirit. It's because this kind of fruit comes only from the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Comes from the Holy Spirit. He is the only one that can produce this fruit in our lives. This means that we have to look to Him in order to put those fruits out. We have to look to God. The more that we pray, the more that we seek the Lord, the more the Holy Spirit can produce in us His fruit. He makes us into better people. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. J. Gordon Henry wrote this. He said, "It is easier to be a preacher, an elder, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, a visitor, a youth worker, than it is to pray. Maintaining a daily constant prayer life is hard work. The reason is that Satan does not want us to pray, since the only time that we are a threat to him and his work is when we pray and are in tune with our God. Therefore, he puts a high priority on destroying our prayer lives." I don't know if I'm the only person in here, but it is hard to consistently have a prayer time with my God, my Creator, sometimes. It takes intentionality to do that. So it goes on then and it says, without a daily quiet time, it is easy for the cutting edge of the spiritual life to grow blunt and dull. The result is complacency. A believer should plan an encounter with God every day. Plan. That spoke to me, that word. A believer should plan an encounter with God every day. We pull out our phones and we plan all kinds of stuff. Right? We plan the need to pay our bills. We plan lunch meetings that we have. We plan gatherings that we're going to. We plan dates. We plan whatever it might be. And all these things are important. There's no question about that. But how often do we put in our schedules, in our planners, intentionally, time with God, an encounter with God? And then he goes on to say, regular daily contact with our source of spiritual life, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, is absolutely necessary. I want to conclude by sharing the actions of Jesus. Mark gives us this great reminder of the importance of prayer. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out to a solitary place where he prayed. The one being that is the greatest example to us in our spiritual lives, Jesus Christ, intentionally, early in the morning, while it was still dark, got up, left the house, and went out to a solitary place so that he could pray. It's important for my God to be praying, for my Savior to be praying. It should be important for me to be praying. It should be an absolute priority in my life to be making sure that I'm finding a place of solitude, a place where I can just concentrate on my conversation with God with little or no distractions, and to do it on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I came across a poem that I wanted to share with you guys, and these are the last things I'm going to share. I couldn't even tell you who wrote it. I didn't put a lot of effort into finding out, I'll be honest. Probably just Google it if you want to know. But it says this. I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. And His presence came like sunrise, like the glory in my breast. All day long, the presence lingered. All day long, He stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the wind that seemed to drive them brought us peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings, when a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with a Savior left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learn from many a trouble away. You must seek Him in the morning if you want Him through the day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come into this place this morning. And as a church, as a staff, as a congregation, we pray and we have invited Your presence into this place. And we know that Your presence is here. You are amongst us. You are with us. And we thank You for that. As we have opened Your Word today, we've studied Your Word. Lord God, I trust that you are speaking to our lives about the importance of spending time with you, and not just how it changes situations, but how it changes us, how it impacts our lives when we make time to be with you. So Heavenly Father, I would pray that we would be responsive to what you might be speaking into our lives today. And I know that there are people here today that are an incredible example to many of us about what a prayer life should look like. But then I know that there are also others here today that struggle with making this a priority in life. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that for these next days, next weeks, that you would continually remind us of what we talked about this morning, the importance of this solitude, this time together with you, and help us to follow the example that we see in Jesus Christ. The example of getting up early in the morning while it's still dark, while there's peace around us, while there's no distractions. And maybe that's not early in the morning for us. Maybe that's late at night at the end of the day. Whatever it is, wherever we can be still, help us to follow the example of you and to go off into a quiet place and to spend time in the presence of our God. We believe, Heavenly Father, that you hear our prayers, that you desire this communication, this relationship with each one of us. So forgive us for times that we've been silent, that we've dropped the ball. Help us to start afresh. Pray this in Jesus' name.